8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that's it, that's it. Alright, how many you had over here? 2 and a half, okay, we'll give you 2-ish, yeah. How many you have over here? 3 complete, how many you have over here? 5! We have a winner!
So 7:10 I should start. We might be filling some time. I don't know if we're going to be able to start at 7:30.
It's okay.
Just because the first baseline looks a little
rough.
Yeah. That's okay.
Country, online at CajunCountry.com.
Hickel County Correctional Washington is family owned and operates. We offer all your residential and commercial correctional washing needs.
Welcome all to the Bank of the James Stadium in the beautiful Hill City, Lynchburg, Virginia. We're getting started here a little bit later than we thought we would, but nonetheless, I hope you all have had a great and safe 4th of July so far, hopefully surrounded with loved ones so far today. We have a great crowd here in the Bank of the James Stadium for the 4th game of the series on the 4th, one of the biggest turnouts, if not the biggest attendance of the summer. Lynchburg looking to bounce back tonight after a Game 3 loss on Wednesday. They have one of the most impressive lineups we have seen Jordan Smith draw up in a while on the field tonight as Lynchburg looks to get back in the win column and secure the series split. My name is Connor Young. I will be the host of the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show as we start this show, as we always do, with the series recap. Germán Gómez started Game 1 for Lynchburg. Gómez allowed the most hits he has all season long, 8 in total. And Gómez would exit the game after giving up 3 earned runs. Lynchburg's offense was held in check by Salem's starter in Game 1, which will be a theme for this series so far. But luckily, the Hillcats would do a number on the Salem bullpen. The Cats broke the game open, tallying 10 by the time it was all said and done. The second game of this series, it would once again take a while for the offense to come around, just like they did in Game 1. And we would have to wait until the 6th inning, the first run of the ballgame. You can thank the two starting pitchers, Jackson Humphreys and JoJo Ingracia, for that. Humphreys stuck out a career-high 7, and Ingracia went 5 frames scoreless, picking up his fair share of punch-outs as well. Humphreys, he would hand the ball over to Josh Horlow, who would continue to keep Salem in check. Durrett Parra would do the same after Horlow. The trio of Lynchburg arms shut out Salem through 9 complete innings for the team's 8th shutout on the season. Offensively for Salem, Antonio Anderson had a 2-4 day at the office. He will lead off Salem's lineup tonight, while Lynchburg was led by Ralphie Velasquez and Juan Benjamin, who both picked up multi-hit days, helping Lynchburg to a 5-0 shutout win. Game 3 was ugly in a lot of ways, if I'm being honest, from the 6 errors committed by Lynchburg to a downright disastrous 7th inning pitch by Evil Brito and fumble all throughout the infield by the Hillcats behind him. There wasn't a lot to write home about before July 3rd's contest. The only saving grace of the game was the starting pitching. The two starters, Alonzo Richardson and Noah Dean, would both go for 5 scoreless innings, holding both offenses futile through 5. Richardson would get through the 6th without a run against him as well, and he would even be given the opportunity to tackle the 7th, but that's where it all went wrong for the righty from San Diego. He allowed his 4th run of the season to Albert Feliz's 8, along with 2 other runs in the 7th, which seemed to light a fire under Salem's offense as they would explode for the rest of the 2 remaining frames, taking the game 11-5. Marvin Alcantara was an offensive standout for Salem. He took a 3-for-5 night home with him, while Esteban Gonzalez increases his streak to 12 straight games. He will have a chance to make it 13 tonight.
tonight. But yeah, it's tough to win games when you commit six errors. That was probably the biggest issue for Lynchburg last night. Let's look over our two starting pitchers. Starting pitching all series long has been phenomenal. Dylan DeLucia and Ovis Cortez both hope that can continue here in game four. Dylan DeLucia is the newest addition to the Lynchburg Hillcats roster, and DeLucia was drafted in the sixth round out of Ole Miss in the 2022 MLB draft. DeLucia owns an ERA of 0 squat in the Arizona Complex League. He was dominant on the mound in the ACL. On the other end, Ovis Cortez is a 19-year-old 6'4 right-hander who has an overall stat line of 2-1 with a 2.16 ERA in 2024. In the Florida Complex League, Cortez was exceptional. In his four games in the Carolina League so far, he has struggled a bit more. He owns a 4.50 ERA in single-A ball to this point in the 2024 campaign. Let's quickly zoom around the Carolina League as we look at who will be pairing up to celebrate one of the best American holidays on the calendar, and then check in on the ever-important second half standing. So we started a little later here in Lynchburg in the rain, so we do have some stuff to keep or catch up on. Down East in Carolina, they got started at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on time, clearing the top of the third, 3-0. The Wood Ducks lead Carolina at Five County Stadium. Fayetteville and Kannapolis in the bottom second, 3-1. Cannonballers on top. Myrtle Beach and Charleston scoreless through three. Fredericksburg and Delmarva, they're just starting the third. Fredericksburg continues to stay hot in the second half. They lead Delmarva 3-1. Columbia, Augusta entering the fourth inning at SRP Park, 2-0. Fireflies out on top on the road. Take a look at the standings coming into today. Fredericksburg, they're in the top spot in the North, 9-3 in the second half. Lynchburg second at 7-5, 2 games out. Carolina 6-6. Delmarva 6-6, both 3 in the top spot. Salem and Down East tied 5-7, 4 games from first in the basement. Charleston 7-5, tied with Columbia at 7-5 in the South for the lead. Augusta and Fayetteville just 1 game out at an even 6-6. Annapolis at 5-7, 2 games out of first. Myrtle Beach 3-9, the worst record in the second half so far. Lynchburg, starting nine today, will look a little like this. Tommy Hawk, left batting first. Ralphie Velasquez, batting second. He'll be at first base today, so he will not be in left field. He will move back to his now natural first base position. Jason Turia, he'll bat third once again, play center. Savon Gonzalez will still hit. He'll move to the fourth spot, and DH, Alfredo Antunes will bat fifth and play right field. Rafael Rivera, 6th, Juan Benjamin, 7th, Manuel Munoz, 8th, Jose Toscano, 9th, one of the best in Lynchburg lineup 13, all season long. Jordan Smith certainly wants to pick up a win on Independence Day. That is certainly a cavalry of hitters. Tough task to stay on the mat for several, as Nate Lee Carroll has cast that tough assignment to tonight. Antonio Anderson will lead off the play shortstop. No Zan Donatello in the leadoff spot. Donatello not in the starting lineup for the first time this series. Brooks Brandon will catch that second. Dylan Taylor took an over five yesterday. He'll bat third once again. Marvin Alton Carr, that's fourth. Really, Encarnacion will play third in the second straight game and bat fifth. Daniel Eaton in left field, bat sixth. Andy Lugo moves the infield from the outfield. He'll play first base. He went 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs on Wednesday night. He'll bat seventh. Albert Bolton's in home run last night. He'll bat eighth. Stanley Tucker in right field will bat ninth. There'll be no interview tonight. Instead, in honor of the commemorative Bedford Boys jerseys the Hillcats will be wearing on this 4th of July, Jason Crill put together a truly awesome commemorative piece on one of the most important pieces of history in the Central Virginia area. You'll hear it here after these messages from Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
That's an all-time question. Mm-hmm. Should have. I'm ready to get this ball.
party started. Let's take a look. Southpaw is brought to you by Prestige Kennel and Pet Services. And gone golden and lovers, Prestige Kennel understands the importance of finding a quality home away from home for your best friend. They are committed to an outstanding quality of care that they provide to you and your dog. They're not doggy stores, but rather a place that goes above and beyond to ensure that your pet is as comfortable as possible. Of course, there is no place like home, but Prestige makes it their goal to be the next best station. Visit them at 14004 Leesville Road in Edmonton or online at prestigekennel.com.
Fans of Southpaw will be signing autographs in the club floor during the first inning presented by Legacy Wells. Legacy Wells Management, not just a plan for your money, but a plan for your life.
Fans, it is now time for the ceremonial first pitch. Not to my Legacy Wells Management, not just a plan for your money, but a plan for your life. Over here, my buddy Hudson, he's going on first pitch. All right, Hudson, 3, 2, 1, go!
Jason Frill. We'll be playing that again during the seventh inning stretch, and it's so important, just like Jason said at the end there, to take a step back and remember the Bedford boys and heroes like them who have fought and are fighting for our country. But up next and on deck is Lynchburg Go-Cats baseball. After the last out is recorded, make sure to stick around for the fifth game show. Lynchburg leads the series 2-1. Season series 12-3. They look for wins 3-13 against their 460 rivals in the St. Louis Sox. That's coming up next.
Yeah. happy 4th of July. It's Independence Day here in Lynchburg, Virginia, as the Hillcats and the Salem Red Sox get set for game number 4 of this 6-game series. Jason Pro alongside Paul Young Connor. The rain has cleared. There is fog out in the distance beyond the left field wall, and it is a beautiful evening for baseball now. Connor, happy 4th.
At the ballpark, man. I've been here.
No better place to be.
Yeah, I've been here since about 3, and I'm excited. This is quite literally where I want to spend my 4th of July, whether it's in the booth or in the stands. Happy to the booth this year, but it's going to be a good one. Fun starting pitching matchup as well. I'm excited to see Bill Lucy down here with Kathy.
Yeah,
Bill
Lucy, a shrinking prospect. Miss to send them over Arkansas into the College World Series final, and he went 113 pitches in a complete game. Now that is legendary stuff, the stuff of legends. They still talk about him down in Pottawatomie Land, but he's pitching for the Hillcats tonight in front of a big crowd, but that's something that he is most definitely used to.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see him go 100 pitches plus tonight, but you're right, that's quite the accomplishment to have on your resume. And I'll tell you what, in his short stint in the Arizona Complex League, it's pretty clear he was head and shoulders above the competition there. And we'll see how he stacks up against Carolina League opponents. And today it'll be the Salem Red Sox, who, you know, they played pretty well last night. The lineup came around, especially later in that game. So DeLucia, he might have a tough couple of customers on his hands.
The Hillcats really struggled defensively yesterday. That was probably their weakest spot. They had 5 errors. It probably could have been a couple more if the scorekeeper decided to make those decisions. But nevertheless, it was only 5 errors attributed. But a different defensive lineup really spoke today. A lot of guys back to their natural positions while still being off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you had to put together a top of the line Lynchburg lineup. I mean, probably how I would align it. Maybe a couple of changes. Have Roberto Antunez DHing rather than Gonzalez, but they want to get Antunez is outfield reps, of course. But either way, you look at this lineup. This right here, this accompaniment of the Lynchburg Hillcats, in my opinion, is the deepest order you're going to find in the Carolina League in 2024.
You're exactly right. You're not going to find anything better because right now, the batting average doesn't tell the whole story, but Lynchburg leads the league in batting average at 256, 3 points above the Mudcats in Canada. So that is almost 30 points above the Columbia Fireflies for 4th in the Carolina. That is just how much of a discrepancy there is among the top teams in the Carolina League and everybody else. Right now, I don't want to say it's a 3-man race because it's not a 3-team race, but offensively, it's Lynchburg, Carolina, and Mountains. Quite frankly, in all honesty, I would take the Hillcats lineup for any of them. But Salem, on the other hand, it hasn't been their lineup that's been great.
Yeah, that's for sure. Every single starter that has pitched against Lynchburg this series has been phenomenal. And to be honest with you, has pitched well enough to win. Just hasn't ended up shaking out that way. And, you know, the reason for that, or a big reason for that, is Lynchburg started pitching has been phenomenal as well. Jackson Humphreys, Lucas, part of the year. Alonzo Richardson, I mean, you look at those first 6 innings and it's pristine. Sure, he gave up 3 in the 7th, probably was left in a half inning too long, but you'll still take that start from Richardson, no doubt. Yermán Gómez, he might have had the worst start so far, but even that one was good enough to get the job done and keep Lynchburg in the game. They would eventually win that game 1. So, yeah, Salem starting pitching has been superior to the Hillcats this series just by a little bit, but you've got to be real happy with your group if you're Tony Arnold as well.
If you're the Hillcats offensively, you'd love to see some production earlier in the fall. That is something that the Hillcats haven't done the last few nights. They've waited until the 6th inning in each of the last few games to score their first run. And granted, yesterday they scored first because the pitching was so good from Alonzo Richardson, but you got to score early if that's the pitching lineup, or excuse me, against pitching staff like Salem.
Yeah, not only are they waiting for the 6th inning, which has been the mark in back-to-back games, when the bullpen gets in the game, that's when the starters have come out and the bullpen has entered the ballgame for Salem. And then it feels like Lynchburg's offense is finally has something lit under them and we see some production. It would be great if they could get to the starter today, who would be Ovis Cortez. Cortez, if you look at his numbers, probably a little bit less fearsome than what we've seen from guys like JoJo Ingracia and Noah Dean.
Yeah, Cortez, he's only one of a 4.50 ERA. He's only gone 12 innings, so you don't expect him to go very long. Maybe three, probably a max of four innings for Cortez. He had 14 strikeouts, 10 walks. So the man has been a little bit of an issue. He walked three strikeouts before the decision. So we're going to be curious as to what we'll see from Cortez. He was an international free agent signed in March of 2022 from Antigua and Barbuda, which I can't really think of very many baseball players that have come from those small islands. So a cool opportunity for him to be pitching, not just in minor league baseball, but also in the 4th of July.
Certainly is. He's definitely paving a way for a lot of people that grew up in his area to pro baseball. But for Cortez, you know, in a lot of ways, he's a lot different of a pitcher than DeLucia. DeLucia, 23 years old, Cortez, 19. One similarity, they both started the season in the Complex League, Arizona Complex League for DeLucia, Florida Complex League for Cortez, and they both absolutely lit it up in the Complex League and proved that, okay, it's time for these guys to get called up. So in some ways, it'll be exciting to see the clash of styles, although there is a little bit of a similar backstory in 2024 for DeLucia and Cortez. And hey, like we said, if this series has shown us anything, if the starting pitching here at the Bank of the James Stadium this week has been phenomenal, both those guys want to keep that rolling into Independence Day.
DeLucia, the 6th-round draft pick in 2022 out of Ole Miss. The stuff of legends down in Texas. But we have previewed the game plenty. The fog is rolling in toward Bank of the King Stadium, and baseball and fireworks after the game are getting set to come your way. Don't go anywhere. We're going to toss it down to Sneak Stillwell, our PA announcer, get you all set for the defensive setup and the national anthem.
And the Rocky Trail.
It's time for Baseball in the Hill City. Jason Pro alongside Connor. And happy Independence Day, the 4th of July, as we celebrate our nation's freedom and those who have sacrificed their lives and continue to serve our great nation. What a wonderful opportunity it is to be able to play baseball on a day like this, Connor. And for the first time in a Hillcats uniform, we're going to get a look at Dylan DeLucia, who was outstanding in the Arizona Conference.
He sure was. DeLucia, he already had zero, not because he didn't pitch, because he didn't get on the run. He went 5 innings, 3 strikeouts, no walks, just 3 hits. Well, he was fantastic. He's the newest addition to the Hillcats pitching staff. And he's coming off a pretty good performance. 3 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 strikeouts. That was against the Arizona Conference League Ranger team. Like I said earlier, he's like head and shoulders above the majority of his competition in the ACL. He hopes to be able to do the same tonight against Carolina League.
And that Carolina League lineup will be representative of the Salem Red Sox. They've been up and down this year. They came alive. This will all come in.
Me, Antonio Anderson leading off with shortstop. And play last night, the game before that, he had a 2-for-4 day. He was the best hitter for Salem in that game 2 loss. Brooks Brandon, finally we see him at catcher. We've seen him at D8. We've seen him at first. Got the day off yesterday. He'll be behind the plate for Salem tonight. Nelly Taylor's been 0-for-5. Not as often as we see the new team that's taken 0-for-5 to make the James Keegan this season. That's what he did last night. He'll be in center field, batting third once again. Martin Carr in the fourth spot. Freely Ignacio back fifth. Eaton sixth. Lugo seventh. He'll play first base. Albert Feliz will DH. He hit a home run in the seventh inning off Alonzo Richardson. That was what eventually would chase the starter out of the game. He was 1-for-3 with that solo shot. One game is over with that eight.
Fastball, slider, changeup for the right-hander from Daytona Beach, Florida, drafted out of Ole Miss, a six-round pick, 181, 2022 Major League Baseball amateur draft. The right-hander will toe the rubber. Antonio Anderson will lead things off for the Red Sox. He's batting .63, 4 home runs, 22 RBIs. DeLucia puts the glove at his nose and delivers tonight's first pitch. Foul back to the screen for strike one. And that takes us on our way here in the Hill City. 7:37 first pitch time and a very, very humid day in Lynchburg. It's 82 degrees and cloudy though. Ball one in there for a called strike. And DeLucia working ahead of Anderson. Good slider.
Emphasis on the cloudy there in the weather report. Definitely gray haze in the canopy of the Bank of the James Stadium. DeLucia wasting no time here against Anderson.
2-strike pitch. Up and away. 1 ball, 2 strikes. They begin to chase a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. DeLucia works from that first base side of the runner. 1-2. Slow topper past the pitcher over towards second. Benjamin with glove and a late tip to first, but they got it.
Yeah, that was a lot closer play than I thought it was going to be. Mark Benjamin maybe had some trouble getting that out of his glove. Not exactly sure what was the delay on the left. Does get him in time. Anderson, good sign from DeLucia. Already a slight what I've seen. He got fastball up to 94. Good command on 2 different pitches, both the fastball and the slider. Remember, this is a 23-year-old guy. This is an experienced pitcher. We pitched to the SEC at the highest level collegiate baseball has to offer. So, high hopes for him in the Hillcats uniform.
And how about that slider at 83 to start out Brandon? He was off balance the whole way. You know what? Went slider again, and Brandon still can't touch it.
Good, man. That's got late break. That's going to be a problem for Salem.
That is a deep, sweeping slider. DeLucia sets, delivers. Topped foul, went off speed again. And it looked a little bit more like a changeup to him. Working the inside half of the plate. Brandon batting .310, 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. That's the 0-2. Fastball, chopped toward third. Pastrana. They're flipping over. Velasquez has to dig it out, but he will.
Yeah, he's forcing hitters to have to protect, and in doing so, roll over. That was pulled by Brandon, hit pretty well, but Pastrana right in the right vicinity to make the play. Both throws have been close, though. I mean, the Benjamin one a little bit more surprising from second to first. Pastrana is a long ways. He does make the play in time.
Yelly Taylor spits on the first one down and away. Ball one, a change up at 85. Taylor batting 232. Three home runs, 32 RBIs, an OPS of 679. Oh, no. Just misses off the corner. Ball two.
Remember, Jason, last time Yelly Taylor entered the Mangrove James Stadium, he had no home runs. He left that series with two. Now comes in once again with three.
He likes sitting here at the Mangrove James Stadium. That's going to be straight through 94 mile an hour here. Lucio wasting no time using that high, hard fastball. He's been mixing his pitches well here in the early going. 2-1 to Taylor. All right, again. Three balls. He did not walk a batter in his two starts in the complex. Only worked five innings, gave up three hits, and picked up three strikeouts. That's good for a win. 0.6 points. 3-1. That's a strike. Okay.
Right at the top of his own man. Challenges him with a fastball. Taylor was taken.
Felicia. Long look in. Now the pitch. Sets down Sam Miller in the top of the first inning as we step aside.
Trust, commitment. For 25 years, we focused on developing the strength of our business. We've earned the trust of our company, starting with employees by delivering professional service and maintaining the integrity of our core values. And we're trying to make good on our commitments for the needs of our community. Strength, trust, commitment. Standing on this foundation, we're strong and
stand
ready for you. I'm Bob
Chapman,
and I invite you to
Bank Club. If your Hillcats scored 5 runs, you fell out with the first 100 fans you receive from Buffalo Wild Wings Goosebumps. Buffalo Wild Wings Road is the place to celebrate before and after Hillcats games. Join us for their BOGO Tuesday and Thursday, as well as happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m.
That could make for an interesting night.
Wow. I don't think
I've never seen it.
That's weird.
That's a low cloud shot.
McDonald's has sponsored McDouble of the game. When Hillcats player hits a double, those sitting in the selected McDouble section will go home with a free McDouble coupon courtesy of Cooper Family McDonald's. Tonight's McDouble section is Section 4.
Lucio went 1-2-3 to the top of the first inning. Let's see what the Elvis Cortez can do for Salem. It's only one of the four hits. 12 innings, 14 strikeouts, 10 walks. His last couple starts, today has been a little bit of an issue. It's been 3 walks, 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, it's also been 3 1/3 inning where he didn't stop. And that's his max. He's gone. He can't lie to the CD snaps. Walks were a bit of an issue. Did strike out three against the Fred Nats. Hasn't pitched against Lindbergh yet this season.
Well, it's actually 0-1 on Tommy Hawkins. He took a little too long getting into the batter's box. Let's start a little bit behind in this count. First pitch, though, from Cortez. This is out wide, 1-1. Hawk comes in riding a 20-game on base. He has been Hillcats arguably most consistent on-base guy over the last month. That misses off the corner. 2 balls and a strike.
That's why you want him batting in this leadoff spot. And on-base percentage for Hawk has even gotten close to rivaling Jason Cheerios.
In there for a strike. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Hawk batting 273, an OPS of 740. He also picked up his first home run out on the road.
in Charleston. Two-team. He leaps and makes the tumbling grab for out number one. So an eventful out from Tommy Hunt.
And there's a guy that almost never pulls the baseball. So if he's going to hit one deep like that, usually we'll see it the opposite way or straight up the gun. Nice play by Nelly Taylor. Ends up staying up on his feet and making the grab for the first out.
Ralphie Velasquez spits on it for ball one. Velasquez batting .268, 9 home runs, 45 RBIs. 1-0 foul back to the screen, 1-1, Nelly Taylor back, 99 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah, that's two in a row at 99. For Cortez, you can see why Salem and the Red Sox organization likes this guy.
See a young arm, too. 1-1, that ran in on a changeup or a slider, 87. Cortez, he's only 19 years old, and he's hitting 99 on the radar. That is impressive. 2-1, big swing and a miss by Velasquez, 2-2.
It's all right. He slowed down on that one. Only 97.
Well, Velasquez was hoping it was going to be 99. Ralphie, one of two representatives for the Hillcats in the MLB Futures game next week. 2-2. Distant foul. We'll stay alive. The other partner in crime of the lineup. Back-to-back 2-3. Jason Shrew. One away. Bottom of the first inning. The 2-2 from Cortez. Just a bit wide, didn't get the call. 3-2. Zach Ovick behind the plate calling the balls and strikes. Larry Pence out of the field for the Hillcats. The Red Sox. It's 3-4 for John. 3-2. Hung up there. Slow chopper for the third. Flip over by Encarnacion. Those two down. Connor, take us through this defense.
Encarnacion at third, Anderson at short, Alcantara at second, Lugo at first, Brandon behind the plate, the battery mate for Cortez. You can hear Tucker running on the right.
In order, Jason Churio will step in. Churio batting .270. He takes a slider off the inside for ball one.
1-for-4 day for Churio last night. Batted with the runner in scoring position, and that's right, that's where he got that single, or the double, excuse me, in the RBI.
Big swing, but he fouled it off 1-1. I see a lot of Hillcats taking big cuts against this fastball. They must see something with it. Maybe it doesn't have much movement on it, but it just comes in hard. They're all just going for these fastballs. 1-1. 18 ball missed inside. 2 balls missed
inside. To get this level in baseball, start cutting off, Jason. At this point, you've seen that fastball, that velo as a hitter. Come down to, can you execute it? And yeah, when you got movement on it, that sure helps. So they'll be ready for the 99 plus.
2-2, swung over top of it, 2-2. Seems like the Hillcats are sitting on the fastball.
Yeah.
So Ralphie in his last at bat, he didn't want to swing at that breaking ball that hung up in the zone, but dropped right in there, and he had to protect. That might be the way the Hillcats approach Cortez. It's just going for the fastball.
You got to make him throw strikes, too.
Over 2-2 from the right hand. Missed inside. Churio shoulder. Full count. Back-to-back full counts.
That fastball's fast, but it seems like sometimes Cortez might not know exactly where it's landing.
Scary thought if you're a hitter. 3-2. That probably would have been ball four, but Churio swung through it. And the inning is over. Back-to-back, 1-2-3, half frames. And the second score was
Go to J&J for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs. located at 14179 Ward Road, across from the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmcoverage.com.
I like the way they framed that shot.
Marvin Alcantara, Fraley Encarnacion, Daniel Hewitt, two up for Salem. Second in, Lynchburg wearing specialty jerseys here this evening, honoring the Bedford Bulls. Tribute during the seventh inning stretch. But Bedford Boys were a group of young men, all from the city of Bedford, Virginia, which is 30 minutes away. Also, it takes an absolute team day in the game. All 40 of the Bedford Stars. Sacrificed their lives on that day. All of those names are etched in New Jersey. Right at the shoulder of all the born of the New Jersey. Well, the Bedford Boys almost served as the largest per capita loss in the United States year war to get. This clock violation has been told out of the loose. We're honoring them tonight with these specialty jerseys as Alcantara hunts it up out of play first in the second strike one. Jerseys will be worn one more time in August as part of our military night here at the ballpark. We'll auction those off. It's time for foul one and two. So start saving your pennies now. We raise money for the National D-Day Memorial Foundation. Those jerseys will be available for auction in August. Now, two ball, this is down to 2-2. MILBauctions.com. And also at the ballpark now. The 2-2 from Delucia, found back to the screens. It's a great jersey.
It is. And I like the choice to break those out for the 4th of July, and we'll see a lot of Star-Spangled Banners and themed jerseys around baseball, but keeping it close to home with a cause like this.
Alcantara pops it up. Shallow center. Turio loses his cap. And most of the time, you're right. It is a close to home honor of these folks. You mentioned Bedford, just about 30 minutes away. You can see the D-Day Memorial right from the highway. If you haven't been to Richmond in the Bedford area, I highly encourage you to stop by and take a look and check it out. It is a humbling experience to walk through the memorial and see the names of the guys who sacrificed their lives, not just from Bedford, but from everyone who served on D-Day. Someone won to Encarnacion. The stories go that those young men knew they were risky and probably going to lose their lives as they stole the beach. That's fouled. Actually, a fair ball down the third baseline. Encarnacion will make the turn and go for two. So that'll be a one-out double for Encarnacion. Finish up that thought. They knew that this could be their final moment serving the country. They stormed the beaches and eventually defeated Nazi Germany in 2. Historic and impactful battles in both to honor that great season. Nathaniel Yuki batting 229, 5 home runs, 29 RBIs. We're on second, DeLucia will step off and look forward. First time we got a chance to see it. DeLucia pickoff. Not much video footage from the ACL on DeLucia, so everything that people have seen will come from college. That slider in there.
Stuff looks great. Looks like he's got good feel for all three of his pitches. And maybe unlike Cortez, great command of all three.
Yeah. He missed with the fastball, 1-1.
He's living around the zone with every pitch, too.
He's not missing by
much. No. A guy like this almost is even tougher to umpire than a guy like Cortez. Might be a little wild. Just because every pitch has been competitive for DeLucia.
1-1. Mutant yesterday had an RBI triple in the seventh inning. So 1-2. This one up into a back end of attempt by Benjamin. He scooped it, fired a first high throw. It was going to be a tough play anyway. We had Beaton hustling down the line. Just wasn't hit very hard. So he runs half the corners with one out.
Yeah, for Benjamin there, it's a tough play. Uton's got good speed, but I think you'd like to see him charge that ball, try to get it with glove facing down rather than backhand it. And that might be your only chance if you really work through that ball. Almost approach the lip of the infield by the time you field it. He was playing pretty deep in the hole. Interesting to see if that's ruled an error or a hit. Nonetheless, it's runners in the corner with one down for DeLucia.
See if they try to send Uton to institute some form of a double steal and take the double play out of the question. Now no inclination for a runner. It's 1-1. Uton only three stolen bases. He is 3-for-11 in stolen bases, so they may not want to run. He has been caught way more than he succeeded. 1-1.
Looks like we did give Uton the base hit.
Uton would love another one of those ground balls. It's not been his MO so far. Only in the double. Even that was a good one. 1-2. Foul past the net, first base.
Souvenir, I'm on the first base side.
Typically down the first base side, there's no room for anybody to, or there's plenty of room for people to fight for a souvenir. Yeah. But now whoever's sitting there is going to get you. This place is packed down to 1-2. Got him with a high slide. Lugo goes chasing.
It's a bit of a head scratcher for Lugo. The slider up by his eyes tries to tomahawk it down. Can't make contact. Big out though for DeLucia. That'll bring up Feliz. Got 8 home runs on the season to lead the team in 8th game last night with batting 140. So just about every time he gets a hit, it's over the fence.
Listening down and away with a slider, ball one. That's why his OPS is at 510.
Yeah.
Hitting 140. He's got 8 home runs. That's all he does. You talk to people around the Red Sox organization, they'll tell you that that's all he does. He can put a jolt in the run. In there for a strike, 1-1. His home run yesterday was over a 110 exit beat.
Yeah. That was as much of a no-doubter as I've seen in this ballpark. And it was also the hardest hit ball of the Salem Red Sox this season.
We've seen them plenty. One of the first to keep Uton honest, 1-1. Make sure you know he hasn't forgotten about it. Encarnacion at third after the double. Uton at first after his single. 1-1 to Feliz. He pops it up. Left field, not very deep, ranging toward the line, and out of play it goes. Feliz mad at himself. He thought he had one, but he could tee off. He took a big uppercut swing, and now he's down to 3.2.
Yeah, that's his routine swing. Sends everything up high in the clouds. honestly, today, he's pretty great completely across the sky. Could be tough to pick the ball up.
Righty on righty matchup. The 1-2 pitch. Can DeLucia get out of it? Runner takes off. It's up and away. The throw down. The double steal. Benjamin now coming home with it. The tag! Double steal works to perfection for the Red Sox as they pick up the first one of the day. I don't know if that's a risk that Diaz was going to want to take.
Yeah, I said this last time when the Cats pulled off on Salem, same result. I don't think it's worth throwing down, especially in a 2-2 count at that point?
1-2.
1-2 count? Like, why? I haven't seen a double steal not work. Catcher throws down this season.
2-2, got him swinging. We were that close to getting out without allowing the run. Back to that strikeout. DeLucia. Double steal works out for Salem. They take an early 1-0 lead heading to the bottom half of the second.
Are you looking for a fun place to host a party? Whether you are hosting clients, entertaining employees, celebrating a birthday party, raising funds for your organization, or simply taking in a ballgame with a group of people, the Hillcats will put together custom packages to make sure your event is a success. For more information, visit Wolfsburg-Hillcats.com.
All right, Ben, the strike on this end of the field. Warriors Capital One, what's in your wallet to shuffle? Follow that credit card inside the wallet, and then let me know which number the credit card is under. Is it number one, number two, or number three? Correct answer is number three. Thanks for playing. All right, Capital One, what's in your wallet to shuffle?
Talked about the fog in the distance. I have talked to local meteorologist Will Stafford. We have got the confirmation that fog will not play a factor in tonight's ball. It's great to have guys like that on speed, you know? Get to check in and find out what's going on. Have to
get it going. Number 9. That's the fog.
The audience is probably saying thanks for that. It's an 80% humidity right now. Very muggy. After that rain cleared out, Gonzalez takes out wide ball. You know what that means? We might be due for some fireworks on the day.
Yeah.
Not just beyond it after the 8th. Humidity lets the ball travel a little bit further. 1-0. Fastball in there. 1-1.
Especially with this Lynchburg lineup, Ralphie, Curio, Gonzalez, Antunez, Rafael Ramirez Jr. on a 6-game hit streak, and Juan Benjamin, who's been honestly their most consistent hitter this series. His numbers on the week are fantastic. We'll get to it. Comes up, but man, tough part of the order for Cortez to deal with.
2-1 from the right hander. That's driven in the right field, but right at Tucker. He'll just go over 2 steps and make the trap. Well, this is a tight one. Right fielder, number four. Grounded foul. First strike one.
He went for inside the Parker last night in the bottom of the ninth in a game where Lynchburg was trailing by a ton. He collided with Loria, the catcher at home. It was out. So it was just a 7th triple instead of the season. Leads the team.
He was so close, but he stumbled and tumbled his way down that third baseline. Genuinely, it was a moment that was very scary.
Yeah,
because the collision
with last night's catcher.
Valoria.
It looked like it could have been concussion or neck type injury. Tunia has a healthy hat. Two down.
It's
the way that I'm doing. It's nothing to do with our team. Both teams knew that. Nobody raised tensions or trying to throw hands or anything like that. But it was a scary moment just because of the way that the collision happened. Joe Ramirez Jr. takes up high for ball one. His bat has been turning the corner a little bit. His average up to 199, still take below 200. Wait, Ramirez had been swinging the bat, you'll take that. Especially since his swings have been a lot more flat-lined, not high arches. Which means his swing path is adjusted. The more line drive base hits.
Yeah, I talked to Rafael Ramirez Jr. before the game yesterday in the pregame interview on the pregame show. He talked about how closely he's been working with Ruben Soto. Popped up, shallow left.
An easy grab for Houghton. Another 1-2-3 inning for the Hillcats, so their hitting woes continue from yesterday. As we head to the third, Pittsburgh trailing it 1-0.
I've been to honor the birthday of our country. We have not a million here. Introducing the United States Trivia. So Super Simple, you got 20 seconds to clock. I need you 20 seconds to name every country, every single state in the United States of America. Ready, set, go!
Texas, Florida, Maine, Idaho, Utah, Montana.
Hey, that's not. Okay. Now we're going to compete against South Carolina. Let's see if he can do it. Head to the screen.
North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Kansas, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Michigan.
Hey, great
one,
you played great, so give it up for William.
What a great time. Dylan DeLucia. Hitting number three. They trail 1-0 after a double steal. Makes a run for Salem in the second. Freely Encarnacion scored the run for Salem. DeLucia's look good. Reminds me of former Lynchburg pitcher who's recently got called up to Lake County and has already found success as a captain this season. Being born all true, both 23 years old, and both clearly using their experience and their collegiate prowess, both pitched in the SEC, to their advantage at the Carolina League level. And now Cortez on the other end for Salem as the first pitch to Tucker misses high and wide for ball one. Cortez, he's a chucker, man. He'll throw 97-99 as we've seen. That can be overpowering. This is pop straight up. And he is, might have a play. Quickly realizes he won't. It'll be strike one instead. Foul ball just in the first row. As I was saying, Cortez... Duff is overpowering at times, and DeLucia might not be able to work up the radar gun quite as high. But his mix of pitches, along with his control, makes him dangerous on the mound, to say the least. 3-1 count, losing that command a little to the nine-hitter, and it'll be ball four. So, first walk. Issue for DeLucia today, and the first walk issued in 2024. I believe he took a single batter in the Arizona Complex League. Yeah, no walks to his name in Arizona. So Tucker able to get on, and he'll quickly take second with no throw. Great jump for Stanley Tucker. to get into scoring position in a breeze after the leadoff walk.
I want to know on Antonio Anderson. Like I never even left. And DeLucia fouls it back to the screen. One ball against Trent. Tucker walks, steals second. Anderson grounded out to second in his first plate appearance. Salem leading it 1-0 here at Bank of the James Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia. Right for baseball. One and one now makes it 1-2. Change up from DeLucia. Tanner now his second time through the lineup, already at 41 pitches. Two strike pitch. Good chase. Good change up. Anderson thought it was going to be a slider. On the table.
Chapter number three.
Out from underneath it.
Alright, fans, let's start
up
with Zach
Wilson's
strikeout matter.
Make the noise if you want to discount him. Brandon, I would argue he's been Salem's best hitter this season. He hasn't been with them for the full year, but since he's been called up, he's been complete batter. Hit for average, 306, along with power, 2 home runs.
DeLucia. Look sharp, sir. I don't know how long of a leash he's going to get to. That's not why. What a maximum of 3 innings in a complex league. But in the College World Series, he went 113 pitches 2 years ago. Now he's returning from injury. It's in there for a strike 2-1. So he's definitely not going to get 113 any times, but he does have a lot of juice in that arm. Give the Hillcats a few innings. Chopper towards short. Harris shuffle step towards first and then deliver it.
Taylor.
For one with a strikeout. An RBI opportunity. Salem already leading it 1-0.
That answers your question, Jason. It's like DeLucia will be stopped there. He's already at 48 pitches. The most we saw in the complex league was in the low 30s. So they're definitely going to be monitoring that closely, as you mentioned, coming back off injury. But hey, I like what I saw. Looks like it's going to be Kyle Scott taking the rest of the play.
So, DeLucia, this night is done. Put together a 4 strikeout line. Good night for him. On the bump, we'll meet Kyle Scott when he comes out.
AC Freon check, transmission fluid check, air filter and cabin filter check, all for $189. Go to WickedDieselPA.com, print out what you love, and go Wicked. Wicked Diesel, Bedford, Virginia.
Fans, we're going to please now pitching for your look at number 32, Kyle Scott.
Thank you.
today. You know, that could affect how far the ball travels. Not necessarily a good recipe for success for Kyle Scott. He's allowed 6 long balls in 49 innings this year.
Not the guy you want to see if you're Lynchburg, because Nellie Taylor has the habit of blasting. That's when he runs to the right field for a base knock. That'll extend the lead as it goes all the way to the wall. Petunias will pick it up and hold Taylor to a double. Just like that, the run comes home, and now the book is closed. Dylan DeLucia.
It's been a while since we've had runs within the first 3 innings. Both teams have really been saving the majority of the damage for the back 3. Good sign for Salem, especially seeing as how lifeless Lynchburg's lineup has been so far today.
Marvin Alcantara, 2 down. Breaking ball, misses the corner. 1 and out. This strike zone has been consistent, but it feels like it's tighter than what you've seen from other umpires.
Definitely favors the batters.
One out. It's still in the left field. A long run for Hawk. He won't get there. He cuts it off. Around third comes Taylor. He'll score. So back-to-back base hits. And the Salem extends their lead 3-0.
Third baseman number 18, Brilliant Tara.
That's now 4 RBIs in 24 hours. He had 3 RBIs last night, and now picks up his 4th in just the 2 games. 4 hits as well in his last 7 at-bats. He's been seeing it well.
We can close the book on DeLucia. Let's do that now. He went 2 2/3, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts in his Hillcats. Throw over. He's responsible for the 3rd run of the day. Hunter takes off, the pitch is up and in, but he is thrown down. Tag!
Got him!
Hard steal. Good throw by the Deans and a better tag by Benji. Ends the inning. Not before Stanley puts up 2 more. They now lead it 3-0. Bottom half of the third inning.
For more than 20 years. If you're suffering from painful conditions, he can help. Give Dr. Rick Jeanette a call at 434-239-9077.
Thought he got under that tag. Maybe not. He got him like a leg and his hands are out. We'll take it.
Across the Bagel and I. Hillcats fans, be sure to vote for your favorite Hillcats this year for a chance to win new walks, courtesy of Arthur's Door. Visit a promo booth above Section 5 to cast your vote and submit your entry in the contest. The winner will be announced and presented with the walks during Fan Appreciation Night on September 1st. Arthur's Door, can't strike out on an Arthur's Diamond.
We'd like to take this time to welcome the following groups and a birthday to back to the James Stadium. The Lowe family, the Laverne family, Evergreen United Methodist Church, Access Healthcare, and the Hillcats would like to wish a happy birthday to Sawyer Dawson.
As well know, we started out with an hour and 7 minute game, but the team was not deterred, the Hillcats that is, as Jackson Humphreys came to crowd and they moved on. In minor league baseball, I think this is the opinion. Humphreys was his early clubhouse. The whole team changing his name. Wearing full Americana garb, hiked up the crowd, ran all the way down behind home plate, got the crowd on their feet, and were standing under the overhang. First pitch to Benjamin was thrown into left center field. Not very deep, as the center fielder Taylor will secure it. 1 away. And Humphreys
took off
the third baseline and did a full tossing on the first 9. Much to the chagrin of the Lynchburg faithful, who buried the tie, battled in the rain.
I sure do. And that starts at the top with Jordan Smith.
I know you haven't really gotten down into the clubhouse after games as Manuel Matias takes the calls, but after wins, it is a party in the clubhouse.
So I've heard.
And I will keep the particulars away as timeout is called. Nothing inappropriate or bad by the fans, but what happens to the clubhouse gets to stay in the clubhouse. The team bonded, I'll let that be. But I'll let you know, the players look for the wins maybe more after the game than the on-field celebration, because it turns into a full-on party. 1-1, missing out wide, two balls. Catch me after the game. I try to sneak out of the box as quickly as possible so I can go walk. See the team celebrate. It's a whole ordeal. Two coaches are out there. They try their best to get the coaches involved in the endeavor, in the party. So far, I've only been able to catch Jordan Smith and Noah Muller. It's been here for a while. Tony Arnold respectfully declined. When dragged out to the middle of the clubhouse. The 2-2. Two Mejias are out of the chase. Two down. Jose Pastrana will be up for the second out.
Coming into this week, their team ERA was the third best for Carolina after some ugly first couple of games, and even no fault to the starters, by the way, more towards the bullpen. They've been dropped out of the top three since then. And even last night, you know, they take their first win of the series, and Lynchburg still ended up scoring 5 runs. But the starting pitching, apart from the bullpen, I mean, Lynchburg really struggled against them.
They've been fantastic. Noah Dean yesterday pitched a gem of a ball.
Yeah, he was great.
Cortez matching that here tonight. Lynchburg still looking for their first base run. New down in the third inning. 1-1. Missing down and away. Two balls in strike.
This might need one time through the order to grow accustomed to what Cortez is working with. Now they know what to expect on that fastball, and also I think might see a little bit more patience.
Or go just to sitting on the slider. Air shot in the center field. There's the home count. The
crowd erupts. The loudest cheer I heard from a Mayor Singleton.
Right fielder, number 5, Bobby Hall.
There you go, Pastrana. You know, even hit the ball a lot better. I talked about earlier this week. In June, he had an average of 260. You compare that to his season average, which is under the Mendoza line. That's it. Good sign for Jose Pastrana.
Ever since that walk-off home run he had a few weeks ago, which was against Salem,
yep,
he's been hitting and swinging a lot better. 1-0 to Tommy Hawk is that missed below the knees. Hawk riding that 20-game on-base streak. He lost his hitting streak in his last game. 1-0 in there for a called strike, 1-1.
We haven't seen that power come back for Pastrana. We've seen a lot of what we just saw. He's level contact that finds some grass. Not to mention, he's done a good job reaching on the walk.
He's had to fill an infield role with the loss of Angel Hanau, so he's gotten more playing time. He's in there for a call strike one. So Angel Hanau dominating up at Lake County, which just makes you wonder how he was here for so long. We're not complaining.
No, we'll take it.
We love getting to watch him. It was a treat every single night. He's one of those players that you're just excited to see at the ballpark. 1-2. Loaded it wide. 2-2. He has been absolutely killing it. He was named the captain of the week. That's a team honor, not necessarily a league honor, an organization honor. He was outstanding. 2-2. Hawk flares it left field. Mutant. We'll run out of space. Strano will have to go back.
Yeah, I really do miss watching him now play. Such a special talent. And I'm going to call on him all the way up the food chain. But Toronto, yeah, he's got more playing time, more at bats. But all season long, he's been very sure-handed over at third, which, you know, you talk about Lynchburg, they had 5 errors last night. 6 of the 11 runs scored last night were unearned. So whenever you can find a sure-handed infielder, you'll take it.
Runner breaks for second. It's going to foul at first base side. The hit and run was 2 strikes.
Love to see Tommy Hawk pull the ball in the air. I feel like we haven't seen that take this year. Everything's been up in the middle the other way. Remember, he hits 2 right field and on the ground.
He went through a stretch for a little while where he was just pounding the right center field gap. And he picked up a couple triples that way. But other than that, everything has been opposite field or ground ball. He's fast enough to beat out. That's inside. I think he caught a piece of it. And a dead ball. Probably the benefit. Salem. Donald probably going to take a third and Hawk probably.
Number 24. Ralphie Velasquez!
Ralphie Velasquez. 3-0 ball game. We'll step in with 2 aboard and 2 down here in the bottom half of the third inning. Ralphie Velasquez from second. Scoop out Kintar. He'll basically run it to the bag itself. One pitch. Final out to Velasquez. We have a third. We have a
Fredericksburg, Delmarva, 7-2, the Frednats. Man, they know how to start a half right. They were great in April to start off the season. Once again, back to that form here since we've entered the second half of the season. Augusta, Columbia, middle 7, 5-2. The Fireflies lead over the Green Jackets from SRP Park. The 0-1, a bender for Scott that misses away, even up the count at 1-1 to Fraley Encarnacion, who doubled in the second inning. Batting average now at .266 for Encarnacion, the best mark you're going to find for San Luis Red Sox, who has played over 30 games.
You know, I want to go back to on-town scoreboard.
Yeah.
I think I speak for the entire Carolina League when I say, can Charleston just... just, we don't want you in the playoffs anymore. You've won it 3 straight years. We're tired of you. Oh.
would say that to Jason Kemp, the broadcaster for the River Dogs. Say that to his face.
Charleston with a 34-43 record after a dismal first half, but in the second half, it's a lot better. It's going to be popped up sky high, shallow right field, and Tunez comes in for the first time of the inning. The second half, 7-5. Good for first in the South, although they got a 7-5 record, and they're firmly in second place at the moment, two games out from Fredericksburg, who were rocketing out the gates in the second half at 9-3.
Four games to that, they played good baseball the entirety of the second half. They're getting tired. They've been playing a lot of baseball the last few days. Haven't been home for a 2-week road trip, and without a day off, they come back and start this series. They're tired, but they need to win this series. They need to pick up a couple games on Fredericksburg, which is going to be tough to do the way the front half is playing. Maybe Delmarva was a fluky hot start. We'll get to see them next week. Maybe we can finally figure them out.
Newton, did he go? Yes, he did. Good bender from Kyle Scott. Drops it all the way down to 73 on that curveball. No two count here to Newton. Feels like Scott can go just about anywhere with his at bat. He'll go back to the bender. This time on the front foot of Newton, which he quickly scoops out of the way. 1-2 to count. Saw DeLucia for just a moment. He started the ball game, had a short leash coming back from injury. Did pitch the most he has in 2024. Got up in the 40s as far as the pitch count is concerned. Back inside for Kyle Scott. Same result, ball two. So now we're working with Kyle Scott, who has been in the rotation since Rorick Moultrie went up to Lake County. And, you know, he doesn't get the technical start today, but he's going to get starter playing time. This will be chopped all the way into the hole to Benjamin. And this time, Nathaniel Newton will not reach on an infield single. He's called second in the second inning. However, he reached whenever Benjamin will get the throw over in time. This time, Benjamin takes care of it.
That one hit with a bit more pace than the one we saw in the second inning, which allowed Benjamin to play back. I was actually in the jump to try to make the snap. He was heading over his head. He did a good job to stick with it and make the easy play.
Andy Lugo pulled one the opposite way, out of play for strike one. Scott comes in today with 50 strikeouts to 18 walks. Good ratio. The last win came against Augusta here at home in early June. The 0-1 tapped to the shortstop, Rafael Ramirez Jr. makes the running throw, not in time. Feels like Raffy did everything right on that play. He charged the ball well, delivered a good throw to Velasquez, but Andy Lugo may be showing why he's got so many doubles on this season. He's got some wheels.
Trying to hustle down the line. You never know what you need to beat out Hondo here. He played perfectly. He did exactly what he was supposed to do in that situation. Didn't try to do too much and made a good throw. Lugo was hustling down the line. That's a difference maker in games like this, where which team's going to hustle it out down the line? Which team's going to get frustrated? Now it's the Hillcats getting frustrated at the
point. Check swing from Feliz. Counts as a full swing in the eyes of home plate umpire Zach Kovic. Feliz 0-for-1 with a strikeout today. He was 1-for-3 with a home run last night. Throw over. Velasquez doesn't even bother with the tag. Talked about Andy Lugo and his doubles. Leads the Carolina League in that department with 23 on the season. That's a lot. 23 doubles. Sky high for Feliz, out of play for strike two.
That's his calling card. Straight up in the air.
Yep.
Or gone. One or the other.
The 1-2 count. No two count, excuse me. To the DH. Scott pauses. Kick, fire. The 0-2 on the way and fouled once again down the third base side. Belize just pulls everything. When you talk about a dead pull hitter, and that is shown by the infield alignment. Juan Benjamin almost right behind the second base back. A bender from Scott, same result, fouled down the third base line.
I don't think we've seen Feliz go the opposite way all season.
No.
But they've had it in this run. He's just going to pull the ball.
These two teams have seen each other a lot, 15 times. This will be the 16th meeting. Lynchburg has been dominant in this series, 12-3. Snap throw from Kyle Scott. Plenty of time for Lugo to get back. 12-3.
Wow.
Big reason why the Red Sox have a 17-25 record against North Division opponents. Strike three! First strikeout of the appearance for Kyle Scott. Catches Albert Feliz staring as he strands Andy Lugo. 3-0 through top of the fourth inning. The Cats up to bat next.
From now until July, you may nominate a deserving individual or family to receive a free group, courtesy of St. Harbor Police and Soda. Visit our website, 31st-hillcats.com, or the phone number above Section 5 for more information, and submit your nomination today.
In honor of our nation's birthday, it is time for our red, white, and blue camp. So who can paint your red, white, and blue apparel? It's time to show that off. All right, step on your feet and let's show us your red, white, and blue costume. Let's see it.
Different night than a Saturday night. You used to see a big crowd that day, and there's more energy. And just tend to press a little bit more and try a little bit harder. It's going to lead to mistakes and overswinging.
It's certainly a great crowd tonight, one of our biggest of the summer. This is the approach I want to see Hillcats take against Cortez. Straight ball, not close for Trio. Cortez hasn't been forced to go deep into counts. He hasn't issued a single walk yet today. He did hit a batter in Tommy Hawk. This is chopped straight up the middle, fielded by the shortstop Anderson. Churio is retired for the first out of the inning.
How to be patient now, though? You need to get to the
point where you're
going to be.
Yeah, it's the same recipe Lynchburg has followed every single game in the series. Okay, we don't have too many answers for the starter. Let's burn them, get to the bullpen, get to work then. First pitch swinging for Gonzalez. Certainly his MO. He doesn't care the count. If you see the pitch he likes, he'll go for it. Spin out of the box, probably lose his helmet in the process too. He bats 298 with 6 home runs, 36 RBIs, fantastic numbers. He'll roll one down the first base line that just gets fouled in the last moment.
And his family's here tonight.
Yeah.
It was cool to see them hanging out at the ballpark before the game, talking with him and Lexer Sadui, enjoying the 4th of July festivities. Gonzalez stepped out in 4th of July garb. Sure, that was nice for him to get to see his folks.
The 0-2 on the way. Strike 3. Swinging over top of it was Gonzalez. Strikeout number 4 for Cortez. Starting pitching for San Luis Potatoes. Hold strong in this series. Right away in 2 hits. Pulls throw into the left side. Got the teal compression sleeve and cleats to match. Petunia's always with the bright colors. It's fun to see what he's going to pull up in any given day. Slider away for ball one.
And then Ralphie over here is Junior Pope, like to go with the glasses. I was wondering where Ralphie Velasquez. He wears a bright pink armband some days. Today he's got a purple one? Not entirely sure.
Should be red today? I'm not sure. We'll have to update you on that when we see him again. Strike one to Antunez. Swings through a 97 mile an hour fastball. Cortez stands 6'4", 19 years old. The 1-1. Fouled off by Antunez. In 1-2-3 innings in the first and the second. Antunez trying to prevent that from happening in the fourth. Lynchburg was able to get some traffic in the third. In their first base hit, courtesy of Jose Pastrano. Tommy Hawk would make things interesting after getting flunked, moving Pastrano to second. The 1-2. High and in the sky. Playable for the right fielder, Tucker. And he doesn't make the grab. Kept tailing to the foul line with Faithful Antunez as triple number 8 on the season. That title, the Carolina League Jacob Wetzel of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Back-to-back games for Wilfredo Antunia for the triple. And Jason, that ball just kept cutting away from Tucker in right field.
I'm not sure if he kept cutting away or he just took a terrible pass. I was watching the play and I was hitting a little bit farther than I think he's anticipating. And then he finally had to dip farther and farther back. And at that point, it was too little too late. He tried to reach to make the grab. I just think he took a bad route. We've seen it a couple times for Salem outfield.
All right, man. Get out your 50-50 raffle ticket for the Head Cap Booster Club. I've got the winner here.
It's Tucker turning right field. It's the first time we've seen for a right field.
Zero.
But that's just something zero. That Salem really needs to work
for. Three.
Four. Comes back to bite it down for the Cap.
Five.
And that's entirely possible. It's hard for us to really see how high a ball is the canopy kind of right over in it. So yeah, I'll be facing off Tucker's positioning. And he seemed, by his body language, pretty confident that he had that ball played well. It hung up in the sky so long that if he did have a good read on it, he certainly would have had time to get over there. He almost did, despite his late break, as it... Ramirez Jr. is right on that 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Just a touch late as Antunia just 90 feet away for him.
I think it's another one. That could travel.
Just the second hit for Lynchburg. He did get another. Couldn't make contact with it. And Cortez, once again, in the driver's seat. The 0-2 away for ball one at 98. How did Brandon catch that like that?
I have no idea. It looked like Cortez even tried to overthrow it. Lost his command.
Brandon just like swiped his glove back and somehow kept it. If he doesn't, Antunez has a good chance of scoring, depending on how fast that ball ricochets at the backstop. And Rafael Ramirez Jr. will line one right to the waiting arms of Tucker in right field. This time, no problem for Tucker. So, Hellcats strand, and Antunez at third, still scoreless. It's 3-0 for the Kings.
And we're going to get paid. We need to get another chance. Come on, we should have done this.
the fog that is against left field is still apparent, but now looks much less ominous. And once again, we're blessed by a beautiful Hill City sunset.
It's incredible. One of the best sunsets you could ask for in July. It's a reddish glow. How about that? Red and blue sky tonight. Independence Day.
Stanley Tucker misjudged the ball last half inning, ended up playing triple for the Angels, and he made a blast out of the inning to make up for it. Go back to lead off the top of the fifth. He walked in the third. The 1-0 from Scott. Spotted nicely by the righty on the outside half of the plate. Evens up the count at 1-1. Goes back away with a fastball. Count will move to 2-1. Cortez, who came in today with a ERA of 4.50 in a small sample size, it's now down to 3.38. Did see a mound visit from Juan Rivera last inning. 3-1 to Tucker. Now back. It'll go full. Tucker one pitch away from potentially drawing back-to-back walks out of the 9-hole. We'll take that. He had to steal a base once he got on as well in the third inning. Got plenty of speed, that is for sure. Full count on the way. Strike number 3. Back-to-back strikeouts for Kyle Scott going back to the fourth inning as he sets down the 8-9 hitter in the Salem lineup. The front court facing K.
Hillcats are looking for him to carry a little bit of this team after Abel Brito forced the Hillcats to use that extra lead last night. They'd like Kyle Scott to give them a little bit of distance so they don't have to use too many more pitchers this year.
Steals a strike with a looping breaking ball. If you're not ready for that pitch, it's tough to know what to do with it. However, if you're sitting on it and it's that high and up in the zone, look out. It goes back to the curveball. Time out of the strike zone. Even up the count at 1-1. Anderson. He's one of three top 30 prospects in the Red Sox organization on the Salem Club who all play shortstop in some capacity or another. Antonio Anderson played a lot of third base this season. He's going to find the hole in right field in between Benjamin and Velasquez. It'll be a single for the leadoff hitter. He's coming off back-to-back games now.
This guy of beer is on the line.
It's a nice teaching by Antonio Anderson.
Talk about nice, easy swings. It brings me back to the swing that ended the last half inning. I'll get to it in a moment. Is that going to be fair? Clubbed by Brannon. Tommy Hawk will retrieve it, but not before Antonio Anderson moves up to third. Brannon pulls in with a double, and just like that, two ducks on the pond for the three hitter, Nelly Taylor. Brannon just muscling that ball fair right down the line and over the third base bag.
It looks like a carbon copy of what Nelly Taylor did earlier in the ball game. With a double down the line. Or excuse me, Freely Encarnacion did the left field line. He just pulled it over the bag and kept it fair. And ended up scoring later in that inning.
Great pitch from Scott on the outside half of the plate for strike one. The swing I was referring to earlier, the infield pulls in, it all stops for Lynchburg. Was a Rafael Ramirez Jr. liner that fortunately just found the glove of Tucker, but he talked about him taking level swings. It's exactly what we saw there from the shortstop. didn't go his way, but it's signs in the right direction for Ramirez Jr., who finds himself on a 6-game hit streak, looking to make it 7 tonight. Pop back out of play.
Fifth inning, please. The new Odin Red Charger, Virginia Plains, BSG 6878. You need to move your car immediately.
1-2 count with one down.
6878, Red Charger.
I said infield pulled in, looking to prevent the fourth run of the game from crossing home plate here in the top of the fifth inning. This sunset just keeps getting better.
I know, I'm sorry, I haven't been talking as much. I've been caught staring at the sunset. You've seen me taking pictures of it. Try to share them on social media. It is incredible.
The 1-2 to Velasquez. He takes his time to look back to runner at third. Go back to first as they're in a rundown. Brandon took off for third right away. Mejia's been popped out of his glove. No! That might be the weirdest rundown I've seen. They had him dead to rights. Pastrano needed to let go of the ball sooner, and he ended up throwing it to Pastrano while he was about 3 feet from him. Or to Mejias, rather, and it popped right out of the glove of the catcher, and somehow a base-running, boneheaded blunder from Salem turns into a run.
We've seen that come back to bite Salem a couple times this series when they messed up their base-running. But tonight, they got the better of the Hillcats, and Hillcats were the ones who couldn't make the play.
Brandon, at second base, for whatever reason, off contact, took out for third, and didn't seem to make any move to go back to second. Meanwhile, Antonio Anderson stayed put at third. So you had two runners on one base, both looking at each other like, what do we do now? Velasquez does a good job of getting the ball over to Pastrano, who then gets Anderson in a rundown, and from there just completely collapses for Lynchburg, and somehow the fourth run does come across. Popped up, playable in the infield. Juan Benjamin will make the snag and end the inning, but not before Salem pulls off a heist and plates their fourth run. They lead it 4-0. The Hillcats are up to bat. Benjamin, the first hitter, to greet him into the game. Anderson pursues that ball to the tarp. Out of play.
Anderson,
Hernandez, 0-6 on the year with a 7.59 ERA. Still a strike on a curveball on the outside half of the plate. 1-2 count to Benjamin. Lynchburg, they've taken advantage after Salem's gone to the bullpen. This seems like the perfect guy to finally be able to get some base runners aboard on and maybe even play the runner tip.
But you have to be smart. You see the Hillcats at times when they face a guy who's sporadic, struggles on the mound, they began to just lose their focus. Swing at pitches that they probably shouldn't. They get caught in tough positions. Aren't able to do much work against them. Almost better against guys who can strictly pound the zone. We saw a couple nights ago. They really need to do some damage off of Fernandez.
Strike three to Benjamin. And that's been a problem for Juan this season. He's been a lot better over the last couple of weeks at laying off punch outs. He does lead the team in that regard. With over 60 strikeouts on the season, the only Hillcat to eclipse that number. Bring up Manuel Mejias. Mejias, what a play! Second baseman Alcantara lays out, steals a hit from Mejias, but I mean that's a good sign for Lynchburg. Put a good swing on a guy into the ball game.
Third
baseman, number one. Pound on that. Eventually, card will fall in your favor.
Build on top of that. Hopefully, Mejias saw something in that delivery that he can pass along to Strano and around the line. Look at that. He's got something to do. He now hits 7-2 and down 4-0 in the score column. They need to start doing some work and fast because this game is slowly slipping away from them.
The 1-0 to Pastrano in their first strike. Hernandez, I mean, he's got an 0-6 record. ERA almost at 8. As Pastrano swings through an off-speed pitch, a breaking ball at 77. But if there's anything to hope for Salem fans, Hernandez is coming off a pretty good appearance out of the bullpen. And so far, so good. Into the bottom of the Hillcats lineup as Pastrano goes down on strikes, much like Benjamin did a few hitters before him. 1-2-3 inning for Lynchburg as we go to the top of the sixth here on Independence Day.
Serve the Bull Rock Six-Inning. Bull Rock Saturday, $2 off during the entire sixth inning. Head over to any concession stand serving Bull Rock Saturday for $2 off.
All right, man, it's time to show me the money, or you bring us to the big hole when we got your way to go. So if you're doing it now, show me the money is pretty simple. How it works is I take a big hit from the box, then put it in that seat and you can show me that swinging, and I'll show you some money. Tonight is for $75. $75, so you're going to see with the right ticket, $75 tonight. Well, you said, well, hey, tonight, it's Tuesday after the game. You know, you have to work for those, cover for money, free off, everybody loves that. And after that, fireworks. We all love fireworks. You know the sports? I love fireworks too. That's right. You're making it now, let it go, bring it down, slow, try to keep up, try to keep up. Make sure you come back tomorrow for Sleepy Friday, where you will get a free hat. Everybody loves that.
To the game recap, 4-0 through 5. Seven hits for the Red Sox, just 2 for Lynchburg. Lynchburg also with the only error in the ball game. It's been a lot of hits for Salem. They've got 7 total. And their hitters 1-7, all with base knocks. So not only do they have their fair share of base hits, it's coming from various places down the lineup, which is always a good sign that you're coming together as a collective squad. And Cortez, another great starting outing. We'll get to that in a moment as this is lifted into left field. Tommy Hawk, a couple steps off the warning track to make the out.
That had a lot of backspin. He definitely got underneath it just like he was hoping to, but he couldn't get it up high enough to drive it off the wall.
Cortez, he went for 4, 2 hits, 4 strikeouts, no walks, no earned runs. Good sign for Salem. Cortez not walking any hitters. That's really been his biggest problem spot. DeLucia, he goes for 2 2/3, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. First pitch to Uten in there, first strike from Kyle Scott, who's gone for 2 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, only 1 earned, 2 strikeouts. Uten, he's 1 for 2. He reached on the infield single. And as the spinner won't spin it up, it will stay high at 72 for ball one. And he grounded out to second. It's out of the fourth, so both the balls he's hit have been pulled on the ground to Juan Benjamin. It's going to be tough to pull that one. 95 above the letters. And he is way behind it. Kyle Scott reaching back. You don't see him work into the mid-90s all that often on the heater.
Uten apparently wasn't happy with his shin guard or elbow guard, I think it was. So he just ripped it off and tossed it back to the dugout. Apparently something fell off with the swing. He wanted to take the elbow guard off.
You'll blame it on the equipment. I used to pull that one all the time. Tap foul. Kyle Scott, fastball, sinker, changeup, slider.
Didn't we all?
It's classic.
I always blame my glove every time the ball went straight underneath it.
It's new, it's too stiff.
Yeah.
It's old, it's too loose. The 1-2. Inside. Evens up the count. Scott, at 46 pitches and counting. The 2-2 goes back to the curve. Count will go full. Not your typical reliever. He can go deep into a ball game. Full count on the way. Got him! Brings him up right in the bottom of the strike zone. First punch out. Nathaniel Uten in the third for Kyle Scott.
Beauty of a pitch right at the knees, and he got the call. Took something off of the fastball, too, and picked up the second out. That's a big second out for doubles machine Andy Lugo did.
Times you got to do that. Take a little miles an hour off the fastball to spot it up nicely. He sure did. Guy would do that a lot. Former Hillcat. Rourke Maltin. In the air, center field, Jason Churio makes the catch. 1-2-3. 5-6 and 7 hitters in the San Luis motor. Here come the Hillcats to the bottom of the 6th inning.
I want to ask you guys a little favor. I need everybody to stand up with me. We're going to honor America one more time. I know we're going to do something special here in a minute. But I want everybody to sing with me, God Bless America. Okay? They're going to play it, and we're going to sing it all together. Go ahead, Devin.
Stillwell, our very own.
What a PA announcer. Not only is he doing PA announcing, he hikes up the crowd. He takes him to the next level. He speaks them in song.
Yes, he does.
Something absolutely afternoon at the ballpark. He's just looking for an excuse to show off those vocal cords and that vocal.
Impressive stuff, Steve. 1-0 count to Tommy Hawk. He's the top of the order. Can fare a little better than the bottom against Hernandez. Hawk fouls it off himself. He technically has increased that on-base streak to 21 games, down by a pitch. And I don't know if he's done that yet. He increased his streak by getting hit. But hey, you'll take it any way it comes for Tommy Hawk. And man, he'll be getting on base every which way. 1-1 to the leadoff man. Fist it to the second baseman on a hop. And Alcantara is in time to get Tommy Hawk for the first out.
First baseman, number 24,
Robbie
Wilkinson.
Everything he was around the ground. Popped up on him twice. So three times to the ball.
What they're seeing from
these pitchers,
they really have been pounding it into the dirt. First pitch to Ralphie falls in for a strike. He's late on a 91 mile an hour fastball. And Velasquez, the back foot, 0-2 count. Hernandez, for a guy with an ERA almost at 8, looks like he's got a good feel for his stuff. He's sent down the first four hitters he's seen in order. Add in a pair of strikeouts as well. Just two hits for the Hillcats. Velasquez will finally get in the box. He would do the two-step for a second there. Lays off a good curveball, but a better take. Velasquez played left field for the first time last night. He made a nice throw. Did well over there. And that stung to Lugo, who is on his knees but makes the grab and will take it to the base himself. Lugo got caught there, ended up kneeling, but still made the stab. And it was a stab of the glove. Back on a hop. But in case, Jason of Lynchburg peppering that right side of the infield with hard hit ground balls. He there on the ground.
And they haven't been able to find the hole. Sometimes when you hit the ball on the ground, you can find the hole throughout the night. But Salem has been in perfect position all night long. Hillcats haven't had a response or an answer.
Cheerio, he's got an 0-for-2 line to this point with a strikeout. Last night he went 1-for-4 with an RBI. He goes the opposite way and it's well hit, high, and caught by Nathaniel Uten. Cheerio, he took pitch on the outside half and sent it the other way, put a charge into it as well, but Uten makes the grab against the wall. And once again, sent down the Hillcats. 4-0 as we head towards the seventh. We've got three more to go. And Jason Crum will lead us on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
All right, fans, it's that time of the night. Military appreciation. Please rise if you have served or are currently serving. And also, all the first responders, police officers, firefighters, stand up so we can show you our appreciation.
Thank you.
Independence Day, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed your wonderful day. And thank you, veterans, and our freedom. And thank those who fought to defend it, and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to have the freedoms that we enjoy. Even though we celebrate today a lot with hot dogs and apple pie and fireworks, and maybe going to the lake, there's much more to it. Lest we forget that there have been so many people who have sacrificed their lives for this wonderful nation of ours. Ruiz, he drives that to deep left field, hooking toward the corner, and about to tie up the run. Hawk plays it well. Can't get it out of his glove. The throw comes in. Tied for a second. It'll be a double for Albert Ruiz, who just missed. Picking up his ninth home run of the season by about 5 feet. Cannot forget this holiday is about allows us to play the game of baseball. That has become a beautiful night. Stanley Tucker will step in 4-0. Salem out in front. Texas, I've not been able to get anything done. 2 hits to it. In there for a call strike game. It's the part of the ball game on the 4th of July. It's my favorite part of the ball game. When all the fireworks are shooting off beyond the outfield wall.
Yeah.
Are definitely illegal
to
be shooting off right now. 0-1. Bound back to the screen, strike 2. But it reminds me of a scene in The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Say, it's the one night of the year where the fireworks lit up the sky bright enough to where you could play a baseball game. And even though we have the LED lightings pounding down on the field, it's still nice to have that glow of fireworks in this place. Providing illumination on the ball. Tucker tipped it into the glove for out number one. Antonio Anderson. 1-for-3 on the day. Scored score on the throwing error, actually the catching error, and while we hit.
What a weird rundown that was.
It was quite odd, to say the least. They had two runners both standing on third base, and they got neither of them. Whoever they would have gotten would have ended the inning.
Toronto decided to finally let go of the ball to throw it to McGee when he was legitimately, I don't know, 6 feet. That's being kind of generous.
It would have been high, too, which caused the error by McGee, but they traded it to the catcher. I would be shocked if they didn't try to argue differently. It's 1-1 on Antonio Anderson. Can't get down any more than 4, which is where you're at right now. 1-1. Away. 4,238 here at Bank of the Jays. Great evening of baseball here at Bank of the Jays Stadium. I'll have to take a look. I don't know if that is the season high in terms of attendance. So on the next, back to back Jays for Kyle Scott. 4,876 was the highest. The weather would have held off tonight for the winds earlier in the season. But because of the hour-long rain delay, we still have 4,238 in the ballpark this evening. That is an impressive showing by the Hillcats State.
Yeah, I was going to say, credit to these guys for sticking it out through an hour of a rain delay.
1-2 up the middle from the tough play. I'm going to go with Benjamin Ray to wave the runner around. Trio's going to come home with it. The throw is on the line. The 10, not in time. RBI signal from Brooks Quinn makes our 5-0 ball game. It's starting to feel like this game is getting out of reach for the Hillcats.
Slowly slipping away.
And you can't even say they've had opportunities because Buckley didn't have enough. They have 2 hits and 3 base runners. Which all of them have come with 2 outs. They have all come with 2 outs. It's hard to start a rally when everything's happening with 2 outs. They're going to hope for some late game magic, which they've had several times before. Fans, make sure to stay with us in the intermission. This next break from the 7th inning stretch, we're going to do something special. Connor played it in the pregame show. We have a pre-recorded segment about the Bedford Boys. Make sure to just stick with us. Tune in here now. Now back to the screen, 1-1.
Yeah, it really is a great story, because of course it is real, but retelling of what happened in our nation's history, and of course it being close to the Central Virginia area, in the Central Virginia area. It was something that I knew about, but not to the extent as I did after listening to this piece we put together.
In there for a strike, 1-2. An outstanding history lesson, a reminder. D-Day. The basis for the jerseys that the Hillcats have on this evening. It's honor the Bedford Boys. Carlisle's recorded. Step aside, but you'll hear my voice yet again. Legacy piece out the Bedford Boys here in Central Virginia. The 1-2, Kyle Scott. This big side with the breaking ball, 2-2. We're on first is break. We had the RBI single. Robert Feliz double to open up the break. Not really some aggressive base running tonight. The Cats have not made them pay. 2-2. Three strikeouts in the inning. Another run comes home for Sam. Lynchburg trails at 5-0. Don't go anywhere. The seventh inning
starts. On the sounds. We tell you.
Stadium. What you just heard there was a special piece honoring the Bedford Boys. Central Virginia. Picked up the first leadoff base hit in the Hillcats. So we only had three hits down the field. Now we have a leadoff base hit. None more dangerous.
Longest hit streak of the season. You remember when he won his first Carolina League Player of the Week nomination earlier this year, he did go on a tear once again, working up to 13 games with a hit. He's been so good this season.
Randall Antunes fouls it back. Now can the rest of the lineup follow suit? It's been tough sledding for Lynchburg. struggled to get anything going with it. The 0-1. Big swing and miss, strike two. The other thing that Salem's done is they've taken this crowd out of the ballpark. They've been quiet for much of the night. They haven't had anything to cheer for. This is a great crowd, and they've been energized all night long. They've had nothing to cheer for. 0-2. Roy takes off for second, pitches up and away, pops out of the game with Roy. And it's going to be a great round of the ball. He continues to get close to the top of the game. It's his 32nd of the season.
Yeah, Gonzalez with 32 steals, 27 extra base hits, almost 30 extra base hits, and over 30 steals in under 60 games this season. That's a combination of speed and power that MLB, execs and GMs would absolutely salivate for. That's the future of baseball, right? Speed and power. Good athletes can put the ball in play. Talk about five-tool players. Esteban Gonzalez is certainly making a claim to be in that category. His 13 straight game for the base hit is the longest active streak in the Guardians organization.
What's interesting is I can't really think of anything that Gonzalez does poorly.
Yeah.
And his defense is really well. And that caught a piece of Martinez. The Hillcats will get their first two base runners up there.
If you wanted to be nitpicky when it came to Gonzalez, you might like to see him be a little more patient, disciplined, draw some more walks, but it's really tough to tell a guy to walk more when he has many base hits as he does, as Antunez now goes to a knee.
Looks like he caught him on the foot. I wasn't sure which one, maybe the front. That's the one that they're looking at right now. Nevertheless, they caught him pretty flush.
Yeah, he seems to be in serious pain here. This isn't your routine hit-by-pitch. He's shaking it out and makes a lot better than that.
Put your hand, it's not a bone in your foot.
Yeah.
And even though you have a shin pad on, it doesn't really do all of it. So, it makes it a bit more susceptible to danger. The bones are tough. This is Winsfield's opportunity to make a move, try to get back in this ball game. Trails 5-0. It's Hernandez. Popped up. It's not the at-bat you want from the game. It's looking for foul territory, and it lands in foul ground. Encarnacion couldn't find it. Uton, I don't even think he was looking at the baseball. And they both overran where it fell.
Yeah, the Hillcats can thank their lucky stars for that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Quote, end quote, Lee Greenwood. God bless the USA. 0-1 to Ramirez. So he gets a fresh breath of life. So wide, one ball, one strike.
This is the moment here for Lynchburg to make Salem pay for a miscue. Seen the Red Sox do that to Lynchburg this series when they committed 6 errors just one night ago and they put a shellacking on him for it. Gotta do the same.
1-1 is right down the heart of the plate, 1-2. They even made Lynchburg pay for it tonight.
Yep.
Rundown error committed by Lynchburg. The two-strike pitch to Ramirez. There's Holt. It's popped up behind the foot. Brandon tosses his helmet. That'll find the seats.
Another great thing about a 4th of July crowd, a celebration over a souvenir is shared throughout Hillcat faithful. They're all going to stick around. They want to see those fireworks. No matter how out of hand things get.
Exactly. They're not going to lose any of the crowd tonight. And if anything, I see more cars pulling in, hoping to see the fireworks. She's getting the two-strike pitch. Harris couldn't catch up to the fastball, and he's retired for out number one. That's a big out. Now he hits the double play.
Second base hit, number two, Juan Benjamin.
Benjamin will be the batter. Benjamin, he's hitless tonight. Going to extend his hit streak to four. Two aboard, one away. Pittsburgh trailing it 5-0. Benjamin takes that on the way for ball one. There's an arm getting loose for Salem in their bullpen. They can't see who it is. And the dog got stuck in there. Fernandez. 33 pitches. And that one goes to the Tucker drifting back. He's looking up. And it is. Thank you to James Stadium, your second home run of the season, and that could not have been at a better time.
I thought the fireworks were after the game. That one was smoked by one Benjamin. Just like that, no caster. Right back in it. This game has flipped.
5-3. Lynchburg still trails, but all of a sudden there's a bit more life. The 0-1 to Mejia, so that'll take some of the breath away. 1-2. Awkward swing. Boy, what a moment for Juan Benjamin there. Hillcats need a bat desperate. Finally capitalize. Two strike pitch. Deep center field. Down the range of that. Back pedal. Right in front of the warning track makes the throw.
Two away. This was a Pastrano. He's stuck in. Look
at the bottom of the 7th inning. Now you're down two. That is a much more manageable count. Than it was when you were down five. Now it was William Carroll in the final
game.
He's going to go to his head. Here on the 4th of July. As we'll step aside
and we'll come back to Pittsburgh. For the particular license plate, TKK2170. You need to move your car immediately. You are blocking buses.
That got loud.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sure did.
I think that was the loudest I've ever heard.
Yeah. That was cool. Even the flyout.
Francis Fernandez, 2 2/3, 2 hits, 3 runs, they were all earned on Juan Benjamin. 3 run blast, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. Royman Blanco, with a new arm out of the pen for Salem, he's 4-3 with a 4.35 ERA. He's gone just under 40 innings with 3 and save opportunities. So let's see, he needs 2 1/3 to get that save. This game now is.
Blanco, he went for 3 innings, gave up 3 hits, 3 runs all earned against the Fred Nats, picked up the loss in that game out of the bullpen. He's pitched against Lynchburg several times, 4 different times this season. Last time he pitched against the Hillcats, gave up 5 hits, 4 earned runs, and a home run.
Jose Pastrano steps in. He lays one down the third baseline, and it will drift toward fair territory, but Blanco swipes it away. Everyone else in the Red Sox had given up on it. Blanco saved that for being a base hit, hit the lip of the grass, and came back for Fenton. Otherwise, Pastrana would be aboard.
Don't mind it. You know I'm a sucker for the bunt. That was a well-placed one from Pastrana. Like you said, he's coming back. Heads up play by Blanco to knock it into foul territory.
In case you're curious, who has the home run off of Blanco? Just about the Giants. Down and in, one ball, one strike. I do not mind the bunt in that situation. The third baseman's playing pretty far over. Just lay it down that line. If it stays fair, we have a base hit.
Guaranteed.
0-1. Small ball has its place in the game of baseball. It's part of America's pastime. It's always had a purpose, and it always will.
Especially in Carolina.
Oh, yeah. How bad some of these lineups are. 2-1. Down and in. Three balls in the strike. And I don't say that to be dismissive, but you look at the numbers across the Carolina League. Pitching has been what dominates all across the league. Only three teams batting above 220, 230, 3-1. Upstairs, Castro draws the walk and carries it down.
Big dogs coming up at the top of the order. You got only two outs, only one out to work with two outs, I should say. Still, feels a lot different than it did one half inning ago.
Throw over to catch for Strong. Nothing to it. Five three, our score here at Bank of America Stadium. Foggy night. Playing deep into the evening. Toronto fakes. It gets away from the catcher. He's got the second. He will hold there after a big turn. Wild pitch on Blanco. He's having some command issues. Opportunity to capitalize on each moving closer and base hit from Tom Hall. Boy, a renewed energy in the Hillcats dugout. Everybody on top step. You can see it. And their attitudes at the plate. Now Pastrano leading the charge. 1-0. That catches the top part of the zone. 1-1. Hot. Not a fan.
You know if you find that big hit, the roof is going to blow off this place. And the Hillcats dugout is aware of that as well.
1-1 from Blanco. Hot offered at it. 79 on the radar gun. He was out in front. Now he's down to count 1-2. Velasquez waits on attack. He's open for an opportunity with a runner on him. He caught him the seventh inning. Hawk has to keep this at bat at any moment. 1-2 pitch. Chopper. Wow. That ran up and in on him. 93 fastball. That's the out in front of him. 93. He popped out a fastball for the goal. He had more of a protection. Blanco checks second. Now he fires. Oh, scores. Good pitch on the outside corner. Off out his bat around up. Light that off. Stay around. Just a little bit longer. 10th pitch of the inning for Blanco. Hawk can't believe it. He's got to be careful. He's got some choice words from Zach Hogan. Lug him up. But Juan Benjamin sparks some light. Brings the fireworks early to Bank of the James Stadium with a three-run shot to right field. Pittsburgh now trails it 5-3 at this point. Brady.
Manager Hookman will be back in action tomorrow, July 5th at 6:30. They take on these things, stay in the Red Sox in game five of the six-game series. It's going to be free Friday. We're going to be giving away patriotic hats to the first 500 fans in attendance. Make sure you get some tickets now at LynchburgJackBillCats.com.
Seven hits, three runs, two of them are there. One run came on the rundown. No walks and six strikeouts. No one fouled down on the screen. Strike two. Perez may be the guy that we want in this ballgame. 3-for-3 and save opportunities. This is not the same. He's showing prowess for intense and tight game situations. Under foul. Alcantara stays alive. Perez. 6 foot native of San Fernando, Venezuela. Signed in 2018 with the Guardians. Indians at the time. Alcantara fights a foul. Yet again.
Perez coming off a appearance against the Mudcats where he went 2 2/3 innings. Just gave up one hit. No walk, 4 strikeouts. That's what he's looked like when he's at his best.
Can you do it with your glove? That is the game of Juan Benjamin tonight.
Yeah, I've got a candidate for the Hillcats hero. Steals a hit, and he certainly did just that. Alcantara definitely wanted that one.
Encarnacion will get a board on the air. Gotta do a better job if you're Pastrana. You picked it well, took your time, you gotta make a strong throw right at the chest. Especially that's what we want to do is get right back to it. We're down two with 2-1. Daniel Uke on the top of the eighth. He swings and misses at a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. At the beginning of the season, Jordan Smith told me when I asked him, who are some of these names that maybe aren't on the top 30 prospects list that we should be watching out forward? Steven Perez is one of those guys. He's a reliever out of the bullpen. People often say, look at a reliever. He never takes off and he's grounded foul first place. Jordan Smith went out of his way to praise Steven Perez for what he does on the mound. Just how good he was going to be. Because Cleveland, all the fans back home, and the Guardian system haven't really talked about him too much. He pitched well in his trajectory up. He finds himself here in Lynchburg. He's done a great job this season, limiting damage. 0-2, another grounder. Right at the back.
Yeah, Perez, he's been one of the most sure-handed, impressive bullpen arms for Lynchburg this season. He's had his hiccups, six home runs like you talked about, come to mind, but 49 strikeouts, ERA in the mid-2s. The numbers speak for itself.
Two-strike pitch yet again. They got him in a rundown. Velasquez, a quick throw to second. Yes! Home left early, so that's a good move. That clears the bases with two down and a two-strike count in the family Yuki. Everything's turning up good caps right now.
That's how you execute a rundown.
You said it, not with I thought. The 0-2. Popped up, third base side. Perez running for it. He's throwing everybody off, sliding. Toronto takes off the pitcher, and he got it! A full slide tackle from Pastrano takes out Steven Perez. And ends the inning. Can't say I had that one on my bingo card tonight. But here we are, heading to the bottom of the eighth inning. Two-run ball game. Heart of the order due up for Lynchburg. We come back to Lynchburg. Radio Network. Fans hoping for fireworks a bit closer to the ballpark. In there,
leading off the bottom of the inning, three hookers, first baseman number 24, Rafi Velasquez.
Hope for 3-2. We'd like to turn it on. 0-1. All out in front. 77 for the ball. Strike 2.
Everything from Ralphie has been on the ground today. I'm going to change that.
Let's hit it sharp. Just at the right side of the infield. The 0-2, he thought about it, but he missed out wide. 1-2. Raymond Blanco came in, got the final out of the 7. That's good enough for him. And it's also the second base bag. Anderson will kick on at first. There's one away.
Center fielder,
ball coming
Jason
off the bat. Jason Churio will take his
hat.
Yeah, Ralph, the timing's been okay. This time seems like the
availability
for Churio, you can say the same thing. Louis can give the ball right the opposite way in his last at bat. And that ball certainly carried a ways. Might have been helped out with the humidity a little bit.
First pitch right at the belt, strike 1. Lynchburg needs to be patient. They also can't afford to let too many good pitches go by and fall back in the count. Out of the way, strike 2.
Well, Churio up, maybe in an 0-2 count, but he's a guy you know is going to bat.
Leading the battle here against Blanco. Right-hander. Foul pass.
He does. He fouls off good pitches. Takes borderline pitches. And his eye is usually in accordance with whoever the home plate umpire is.
Two-strike pitch.
Ground ball sharply hit, gobbled up by Lugo. An outstanding play, a race to the bag, sliding in his Cheerio. Don't retire number two, a risky play. A nice play by Lugo. We could have a good
example.
Saw him playing there all the way back when Salem played Lynchburg the last time here at home. And who knows? Got some time under his belt. Looking better.
The tie run will come to the plate.
Gonzalez is averaged back over 300 at this point. Guardians fans, and especially prospect hits of the Cleveland system, have to get to know Esteban Gonzalez pretty closely.
He's a guy to keep an eye on, for sure. Throw over and he's back in sliding. I doubt he'll be sitting there for too long. Even in a two-run ball game, he's going to afford it out of baseball. He was that confident that he's taking off. But you can't be stupid and leave early. He takes off. The pitch is outside the throw now. Up the line. He slides underneath the tag. He's in there safely. Dylan Burks number 33. For Gonzalez, as he continues to run the bases, he's now tied for second with Riku Nishida. A base hit could make it a one-run ball game. Tunez takes down at the knees. 2-0. Sherwoods continue to shoot off in the distance. Rafael Ramirez Jr. waits on deck. He's hoping for an opportunity. We're still waiting for his signature hill cap moment. 3-0 outside, and Antunez has worked the count in his favor. Now, Antunez, he's not afraid to swing 3-0. So if he gets a fastball down the pipe, he may be trying to tee off on this. Let's see what happens. Jordan Smith gave him a look. I don't know if to look now, but we will find out here. Making all the way, ball four. We're captain of
Antunez. Number six, Rafael.
Something that I haven't seen from our 2 years very often. He just passed over Mason. Rafael Ramirez Jr. He's got Sam now. Out comes the pitcher for Juan Rivera for Sam. As Blasco starting to feel the mounting pressure.
And 2 years might have just said, make a pitch, dude. We saw Rafael Ramirez Jr. in his last at bat the other day. And it wasn't even flunked him. He struck out quite quickly. Before that, he took the ball to the outfield, left and right. And hit the ball well in both guys, especially in the bottom of the fourth when he lined out to cover in right field. Blanco struggled a little bit with command. That's the second walk of the appearance already. Ramirez, you can get up in the count, sit on something, probably a fastball. Pretty good spot, too. Like you said, maybe find the first to get your hook count moment. I can't think of any way to find it.
Who lives for this kind of environment? He embraces the glare and the snag. Base hit to cut into the deficit. Lynchburg down by two. Bottom of the eighth inning. Two down. Two aboard. Harris watches it float down and away. Gonzalez on second. On two is at first. That's the situation for you. Raymond Block. Toes, 2-0. Kind of been checking. I don't see anybody throwing in the bullpen right now. The same. I don't know if that means they're going to stick with Blanco or if they haven't got ready. We shall see. Ramirez count though. 2-0. Rounder over to first. Lugo will take himself. Ramirez topped it.
ends the inning. Fortunate break for Lynchburg. They had the time run aboard here in the eighth. They trail by two as we head to the ninth here on the 4th of July. Trying to send the crowd to the fireworks show a bit happier. They need to hold Salem here. Ground ball to short. Ramirez sliding, can't make the play. They're going to take the turn and hold it first. Lead off Siegel for Andy Lugo. His second in the round.
Back to back multi hit games for Andy Lugo. Last night he took a 2-for-5, also a 2 RBI that game. No worries today, but hey, we've been seeing it well.
Perez checks first. He throws over Lugo back diving. Feliz, 1-for-3 with a double. He gets a hold of one. It travels a long way. Another throw over. Now Lugo can run a bit more freely.
Leaves his double in the seventh inning. It had the distance and almost had the height. Not a ballpark. 3 feet or so too low.
No holds, and Feliz fouls it back for strike one.
Attention, please. If you park in a non-parking spot, you will be towed. You need to move your car immediately.
Lynchburg cannot afford to get down by any more. Trail since the second inning. 2-1. Salem took the lead early on with a double by Encarnacion, who would work his way around and double steal. In the second, they put two more aboard. Only Taylor would score one with a double, then he'd come home. Comes in there, 2-2. In the fifth, tack on one more. Pickoff air by Lynchburg. Excuse me. Rundown air by Lynchburg. They make it a 4-0 ball game. They'd score their fifth. Makes Albert Feliz and puts Brandon. Out there, 5 hits for down all with one swing from Ron Benjamin. A 3-run home run to right. Litter, good block. Finally, he is. Oh, full count on Albert Feliz. We approach the 10 o'clock hour here at Bank of James Stadium. This game started with an hour and 7 minute delay due to weather. crowd has struck it out. Breeze offered at it. They throw down on a stolen base attempt. Almost got him. And now they're going to call interference. Oh, he's out! The runner's out at second. Feliz ducked in front of Mejias as he struggled for the baseball. Lugo has to go back to the dugout. What a break for Lynchburg. Batter's interference on a strikeout. Clears the bases. Stanley Tucker takes down an in for ball one. That's the second time we've seen that this season here at Bank of the James Stadium. 1-0. Finds the zone. One ball, one strike. Fireworks continue to shoot off in the distance. The crowd sticking around for fireworks after the game.
This is the place to be for it.
1-1. In the dirt, two balls on the track. It's the only legal fireworks show in the city of Virginia. Excuse me, the city of Fitchburg. Common. Perez fires high. 3-1. Looking ahead to the ninth inning, it'll be at the bottom of the order. Benjamin Mejias and Pastrana. 3-2 up for Lynchburg. That's trail by two. Three-one. Tucker swinging away. Full count.
I'm Perez. I'm challenging Tucker here. Reach back and spot up a fastball high. See what he can do with it.
Or face the top of the order again. The payoff pitch in the ninth inning. Down and away, ball four. He missed. I'll bring up Antonio Anderson. Anderson singled and scored in the fifth inning.
The fact that Tucker has worked hard enough to drop two walks. That's a job well done in itself.
Everyone for Lynchburg a couple nights ago got on base throughout the ball game, drove over. Tonight, Salem has done the exact same thing. Everyone in their line has
got on
not via the hit. Only eight, they have 10 of them. Fewer school without. Walk twice, a snap to the first last hit.
Yes!
Second time this week, Mejias has caught him sleeping. What a great play to send us to the bottom of the ninth inning. Lynchburg needs 2-2, 3-1 here on the 4th of July. Fireworks, maybe. Coming up next.
Thank you.
hot of the night, getting 5-36 in that. On Benjamin, who has the 3-run home run to lead things off. Missed inside for ball one. Benjamin, over the game's biggest eruption of the crowd. He takes out wide, ball two. Roman Blanco remains out there. For the hill count, you gotta be patient. No mistakes here. Here's the 2-0 on the right hand. Just missed, not sure where. Alcantara at second, can't figure it out either. But it's ball three, and now Castrano is in contention. And be as patient as he wants. Right hander finds the zone there, 3-1. Benjamin. If it's not a fastball down the pipe, I'm not pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Base runners, like you said, the key.
Pitch. Oh, strike. Ball's time. He thought it was ball four and a slider. Now it's a full count. Fans know I'm chirping a little bit with Zach Hovind. We're in the moment in the situation. A payoff pitch from Blanco. Topper right back to it. He bobbles it and puts it on the first round number one. Boy. Blanco was down to count 3-0. And he was able to get
Benjamin. Yeah, I think Benjamin fell into the trap a little bit. After he was 3-1, kind of playing for a walk. Yeah, he got slider, a little high. But that's a pretty good pitch to swing on if you're looking to hit. Take it out of the ump's hands.
And when Mejia spikes it off foul for strike one.
Benjamin, please, if you're still hungry, all my food, half price. All my food, half price.
Blanco, right-hander. As it broke to the right field of the base hit. Look how he has that time right after this in the form of Jose Pistono. Ninth inning. Nice easy swing by Mejias.
George Smith makes some changes late game. He's seen him steal some bases this year, so I don't want to completely sleep on his feet. But if you get someone a little bit more quickness, like Luis Durango, maybe, into the game.
You have to think about it a little bit. That misses out wide for ball one. I would guess if they get him in the scoring position, then they might.
Sure.
One zero from Blanco. Right at the knees, a called strike. 1-1. Ground ball presumably ends it. Salem's played a great game defensively, no errors. Uncharacteristic for them in this series.
For this season.
Blanco pauses. He has it driven to deep center field. Taylor backpedaling will make the ground. Route number two, Mejias will drift back to first. The last hope for Lynchburg will be Tommy Hall. Except his own.
Number five. Tommy Hall.
To extend the ball game. And out goes Juan Rivera, the pitching coach, to have a word with Blanco. Trying to make sure that Salem can get the final out of this ball game. The crowd is not moving from the summer. They have been planted in their seats all night long since the main stop. They're hoping for one last opportunity to erupt in cheer. It's the party loving the one at the plate.
Definitely.
Down to 2 outs.
Interesting. Tommy Hawk looking back on base.
ball game. This is the guy that you want up because he can get aboard in a variety of ways. It's a small strike zone. That misses low, ball one. He gets aboard. Ralphie Velasquez waits on deck. He's 0 for 4. It's hard when you go 0 for 8 on the 2 and 3 hits. And maybe your best players on the team. 1-0 from Blanco. Oh, there's that. Shallow left field charging as you can slide. Can't make the jump! The bounce is to left field, and runners are at the corners with two down. And now the winning run at the plate here at the bottom of the ninth inning.
Good to hear from the game, Jason, but I remember the last time Ralphie Velasquez bat in this exact same situation. Gets him a little bit more favorable for Ralphie, but still he has a chance to call game with one swing to bat against the same Red Sox, and he did.
See if Hawk takes off. He freezes. He drives it up the middle. Bases! That's in the gap going toward the wall. Hawk being raised around third. He's going to try to score. The throw coming in. It is! Oh! And out of the ball game is two guys. Two guys have been ejected. He is ejected. Hawk ejected. He is leaving. Acuna is in the face of the umpire. They can't believe it. Smith in their faces. They need sort of walking guys down as the crowd letting the umpires hear it. Hawk in disbelief at home plate. Salem, a perfect relay throw, ends the ball game. Oh my.
Tony Arnold walking him out. An escort from TA.
I don't think that's an escort. I think he's letting them hear it.
Oh, he is.
That's not an escort. Antunez had to be grabbed back to the dugout. This crowd is stunned. My, oh my. I have never seen a reaction like that. As the crowd gets the Hillcats an ovation saying thank you for your efforts tonight. Unbelievable. Let's watch it back. The play at the plate. Oh, he was saved. We'll step aside. Lynchburg loses it 5-4. What a heartbreak.
One thing I will say is I like the response from the team. You know, in minor league baseball, there's been a connotation that these players are kind of in it for themselves, and they're just out here trying to move up to the next level for their own gain. You don't think that game mattered to them?
Oh, man.
Every single one of those guys was ready to, what it looked like, would pretty much wring that umpire's neck if it wasn't for Erwin Cerda and Cole Nieto, who are two big, strong guys that were manhandling or trying to with their full might. Alfredo Antunez, Tommy Hawk, and company.
If Antunez would have been let go,
I know.
I don't know what would have happened.
It would have been bad.
He was, he plays the part of Ashton. But boy, that's a scary sight when a guy like Antunez comes out.
It is, and he was not being stopped. He had Tony Arbuckle meeting them at third base, walking them literally. I think he walked them to their car. I think he might
still be with them.
I think the car on the ride home, just chewing them out.
If they call an Uber, he's their Uber. That's how this is going to work. Man, Lynchburg Falls tonight. Hillcat Hero has to be on the game. But it was a fun game. Lynchburg waited until the very end of the score. Second, third, and then two more in the fifth, or one more in each of the fifth and the seventh. Lynchburg with their 3-run shot. The seventh made it a 2-run game. And as you heard, they scored one and they play at the plate for run number two to tie the ball game. It's called out by home plate umpire Zach. Matt's out. Tough night, but a lot to build on, and be happy with the way you saw a fight from the Hillcats.
They continue to do that. They continue to rally no matter the deficit, no matter the situation. You never count them out. You know, going forward, for the rest of the series, you'd like to see them get that offense going a little earlier. And that's something they can work on tomorrow and Saturday if they try to make sure they don't lose their first series to St. Louis. Got a ways before they get there. Fairly tied at 2-2, but already Red Sox putting up more of a fight than they have in any series so far against the Hillcats in 2024.
Two games apiece. Join us tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. first pitch. Fun night. Patriotic cap giveaway. Showcast.com for tickets. One final time for me, Connor Young, with one more segment when they look around the Carolina League. Also preview tomorrow night's call. One final time though, 5-4. Salem knocks off Lynchburg in dramatic fashion on the fourth hole. I'm Jason Burrow saying good night. God bless. God bless America. And man, I do not want to go in that clubhouse
right now. Oh, man. Yeah, good luck.
All right, man. The grand section is 1, 2, 3, 11. Let's start throwing them in 3, 2, 1, go! Two cards. Fucking T-shirt and a mask of over
Salem, 8 for Lynchburg, 5-4 in your final here in the Hill City in game 4. It's an heartbreaking, dramatic fashion. Tommy Hawk called out at home on the throw from outfielder Nellie Taylor to end the game. Fireworks on deck here in the Bank of James Stadium. The Hillcats, they've got two more games in this series. We'll take a look at that. Just a moment. First, let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Down East, Carolina, 6-4 final. The Mudcats win it at home. Annapolis, Fayetteville, 8-4. The Ballers slap Fayetteville and double their score at Atrium Health Ballpark. 2-1 in a low-scoring game. The River Dogs come out on top over Myrtle Beach once again. Fredericksburg, they keep handing it to Delmarva, 7-2. They topple the Shorebirds at Arthur W. Purdue Stadium. Columbia, Augusta, 5-2. Fireflies, they beat the Green Jackets at SRP Park. Here in Virginia, 5-4 final and a close one. Lynchburg once again falls in a one-run game. They are now 4-14 in one-run affairs. Tomorrow it'll be Alex Harney on the bump for Lynchburg. He's been pitching fantastic as of late. His June numbers are stellar. His ERA in the twos. He's looking to roll that into June in the middle of the month. It'll be his first start in the month of July. We'll be up against Matt Duffy, a 1-4 record, 4.20 ERA for Duffy. As the deadlock will be broken. Currently both teams with 2 wins apiece. Can't stay put for long as the Cats and the Red Sox are both going to look to be taking the swing game 5 and set them up for success to take game 6 and the series. Sweep will be secured one way or another after our conclusion tomorrow. But these fans, they're still here. Over 1,200 plus of them. Getting ready for a fireworks show. For Jason Pearl, I'm Connor Young, saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia. We're the final for one final time.
0-5-5.
Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg GoCats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.
In 4-3-4. Five. With our gift card winners, that's time for two shirts. T-shirt you have 1-0-7-5. And that's what we have. Awesome. Great job at Broadview. If you have your receipt with the number on the card, bring that receipt to promo booth and they'll give you your prize. We're going to start fireworks pretty shortly. Make sure you get everything settled, because the lights will be going off pretty soon.